The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio.
We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen.
This is The Cue.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Shining. What's up?
Solutions left, but it's on time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Cue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and once again, you are listening to the best political, current events, and pop culture talk show east and west of the Mississippi River. This is The Cue, and former White House staffer Donald Rumsfeld called the Obama administration a name, and it was not pleasant. We were going to talk about that. Creationists want equal TV time because Cosmos is a popular TV show. Yay for that. We have a list of the top 10 most controversial movies of all time, as well as you're listening to the best in the entire nation when it comes to talent. And I'm not going to slouch on you guys this week either. As usual, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show my special producer, the producer of all producers, Producer Bobby. How have you been, Producer
Bobby?
I'm awesome, man. How have you been?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you once again being here. I think it's great that you love being here. And we are also joined, as we always are, because he has now become kind of a permanent cast member here for The Cue Show. He is the heavyweight champion of The Cue. He is literally famous in Botswana.
The king of all media.
He is not the king of all media. You say this every single week, and I don't understand why you keep saying
he's the king of all media.
He is not. That's Howard Stern.
Amsterdam.
Now, hold on. Wait a second. I have been called the king of talk radio, but I don't go around saying Mark Bland is the king of talk radio, although that's a great hashtag, king of talk radio. Okay, if you're going to use it. He is the heavyweight champion of The Cue. He is what I would consider the prince of everything professional wrestling. Like, he is that man.
Yeah.
Like, he's a polar vortex.
He's a polar vortex.
He is a Danimal. He's the head of Danimal Incorporated. We have discussed this multiple times.
CEO
of Danimal Incorporated. Ladies and gentlemen, popular in Botswana, Czechoslovakia, Latvia. Lithuania.
Belarus.
Germany, Amsterdam. Obviously.
We're working in Delaware,
the state of Delaware, and Vermont. Love him a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Reality himself, Dan Walsh. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing dantastic.
You're doing dantastic.
See what I just did there? We had all the things going. I wanted to be dantastic. Yeah, in Vermont, they know crab cakes and Dan Walsh.
They know crab cakes and Dan Walsh. That's all they need to know.
That's what they know. Mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing that you're a very entertaining man. And that's why I appreciate you being on the show every single week. You know, you're a very entertaining guy, and I think that you deserve to be huge in Vermont and Delaware. I think that we need to get the Polar Vortex, the Flying Reality Tour, over to Vermont and Delaware.
I think they need it more than I need them.
That's very possible.
Because it's Vermont. Like, if you were like, hey, come on, back up the kids, let's go to Vermont, like, all the kids would be like, why? We promise we'll clean our rooms. We'll get better grades.
Now, I am interested in talking to you. A few weeks ago on the show, we had Darcy Dixon from Resistance Pro Wrestling along with Lucy Mendez, as well as Mickey Knuckles. And we had a really good time talking to those ladies. And you had the chance this past week to go up to Resistance Pro. What did you think of their show? Tell us a little bit about Resistance Pro and what you thought.
It's an outstanding show. I mean, it really is. These guys are – everything runs to a T. Very entertaining. Very interactive. If you look at half this roster that was wrestling, I mean, there's a bunch of untapped potential there, but I would say a good half to three-fourths of these guys that are in this ring, you're going to see down the road somewhere, either with Vince, TNA, something like that. I mean, these guys possess that much talent. Everybody there in the organization is extremely professional, extremely nice. They're just there to put on a great show. It's not. I mean, it is about money because it's a professional wrestling business, but they really, really do care about their product.
Now, who impressed you the most wrestling wise? Like, well, like which character impressed you the most when you were there? Like, not trying to say that the other guys don't impress you. I'm just saying, like, which one stuck out to you? Like, that you walked away and you were just very happy with seeing that performance.
There was a few, man. Honestly, there really was a few. I'm going blank on his name, and I feel horrible for this, but there was a few. I was very impressed with the women.
Oh.
And a lot of times women's wrestling is just not, especially in like the WWE, it's not taken serious.
Right,
and these girls really get in the ring, and they had this like massive like elimination style match, and they all really got in there. And I mean, they were bumping like champs. They were, you know, the wrestling was there. I mean, it was good stiff hits. I mean, it was very impressive. As far as like an individual,
it made
you
excited a little bit. It made you a little excited. Let's be honest.
It did. As far as like, there's a guy, the Ego, and he was hysterical. Like, you see heels that come out, and he was going against Bobby Lashley, which this guy has a pretty good build, but of course Bobby Lashley's
a monster. Yeah, he's
6 foot nine, and like just. And here's another thing: Bobby Lashley up close, bigger than on TV, but has the most beautiful teeth ever.
Oh.
Just all in a line.
Just super gorgeous teeth.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just the gorgeous teeth. But, yeah, he went against this guy, the Ego, and, like, everybody's waiting for Bobby Lashley, which Bobby Lashley did a great job. But, I mean, I think this kid really stole the show just with how he worked this crowd, man. At one point, he had this lady throw a beer on him because he's insulting the building that they're in,
right,
which is holding a fundraiser to save this, like, school.
Right. So and they're trying to save the school, and they're just ripping
on
him.
Oh, he's ripping on it. And, like, so she throws it, and instead of just getting, like, just going into basic bad guy stuff, man, he gets on the phone and calls his mom, and he's just hooting and hollering. And, I mean, anytime it was – I don't want to go on and just give those play-by-play, but just very – like, it was – I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of something like that, but, like, he really took it to the max. I mean, they had – we're talking organizations, you know, their stables. Everybody is it's really well organized. It's very to the point, hard-hitting. There's no – it doesn't seem like there's any wasted time. The crowd is really hot and into it. It's a really, really great event. So if you're in the Chicago area, if you're in Indiana, if you're anywhere, if you're going to Chicago, check out and see if these guys are going to be having a show, because you really don't want to miss it. If you're a wrestling fan, you're going to love it. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, you're going to be thoroughly entertained. And like I said, you're going to see a lot of these guys on a even more main stage in the future, I truly believe.
And you could check out those shows that Dan was just talking about at ResistancePro.com. ResistancePro.com.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I found out something interesting this week. It's weird that we're talking with you directly off the top of the bat, Dan, almost like we're kind of interviewing you, because I found out that there's another real-world Road Rules Challenge guy who's a well-known comedian by the name of Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn,
Were you on any of the challenges with Theo?
No, man. Theo and The Miz, like, stopped doing challenges around the same time, and it was like a show maybe two before me.
So it was right before you got involved.
Yeah, like I think I've been in the same building, like the same room as Theo, but I've never met him, like never sat and talked or anything.
Evidently,
like that.
He does a pretty good job on the comedian side because he's booked on all kinds of stages constantly. He's done a lot of TV and commercial work.
He's been doing it for a while. He was on that Comedy Central where they were making fun of like The Last Comic Standing, but they just made it completely ridiculous. Like Hal Sparks was on it, and they made him do like these crazy challenges and stuff, but it was like. I was making fun of Last Comic Standing, but it just went really ridiculous.
Who is your – while I'm talking to you for a second here, who is you, in your opinion, being a guy who's toured around with many different comedians all over the United States, who is your favorite maybe someone that people – they're a well-known comedian, but they're like not Dane Cook level. They're not mainstream like known level. Like, for me, my favorite comedian is a guy named Pablo Francisco. Uh-huh. Not somebody who's, like, extremely famous and super well-known, but at the same point, he's done his fair share of Comedy Central specials and things like that.
Oh, he's hysterical.
He's been around for a while. He's got a great stuff. But, like, I like Pablo Francisco a lot. Who's the guy for you? You said Hal Sparks earlier. That's what kind of jarred this question.
Well,
you
know? Like, I honestly, there's two guys that I've had the pleasure of, like, opening up for. One was Colin Moulton, who is hysterical. If you ever get to see Colin Moulton, or if he's ever in your town, check him out. He had a Showtime special, but I mean, you talk about a guy that just goes off the cuff and just is everywhere. I mean, his jokes go from anywhere to slightly political to the time that his mom wanted to get an OnStar job with OnStar because she found out her neighbor did it from her home, but he was just going on how funny it would be because his mom drinks, like, is an alcoholic. So he's like, could you imagine that OnStar conversation in the middle of the day? Like, hey, OnStar, I lost my, you know, left my keys in the car. Well, you probably shouldn't have done that, did you? You know, like, he's just, this guy's imagination's amazing. And I've performed with him like three times. And every time he does a show, man, he goes over his time and he's hysterical. Another guy, if nobody knows who Josh Schneed is, I had a pleasure performing with him down in Columbia at the Funny Bone. Or, excuse me, down in Deja Vu. Excuse me. So he was awesome. And I just asked him a lot of questions and stuff just throughout the weekend. And we even all went to see a movie and that. And he was, I mean, just a really cool guy you could talk to. A guy that was telling you everything about the business that probably you didn't know. Like, for example, how crazy Tracy Morgan is, like, in real life. And, like, just a really cool guy, really neat, down to earth. So I would say check out Colin Moulton. Check out Josh Schneed if you haven't already, because you don't see a lot of these guys on the main stage, but, like, Josh Schneed's had a couple Comedy Central presents. But Moulton, man, that's a hidden gem. Like, I'm really surprised that this guy isn't, like, more out there, because he's hysterical.
You know who else is really funny, and he hasn't really got, I mean, he's had a few things. He's starting to kind of build his reputation over the last couple of years, but he really hasn't just nailed it yet, is Kyle Kinane. Kyle Kinane is really funny, and if you don't know who Kyle Kinane is, he's a comedian out of Chicago, Illinois, and this guy is just, he's just nailing it. Like, literally, his story about going to the bathroom, I wish we could pop it in real quick, but we can't right now. The story he tells of, like, using the restroom, and the guy deciding to use the restroom next to him, and the conversation that ensues, absolutely hilarious. Just some of the funniest things that I've ever heard came out of Kyle Kinane's mouth. He's a really funny guy. All right, ladies. Well, I want to get moving on the show here, Bobby, because I know that you're very eager to talk about Donald Rumsfeld. Actually, you know what? I don't want to talk about Donald Rumsfeld. I want to talk about something else instead. We're going to talk about Donald Rumsfeld in a minute.
Okay.
I want to go on a rant. It's time for a rant, boys.
Oh, my God. He didn't even... What are we, 8 minutes in? He's already going to rant?
We're 11 minutes in.
Well, okay. We already do this at the front end of the show.
All right, do your rant better.
I think you guys are going to agree with me on today's rant. You know,
I got money saying that it's something against conservatives.
It is not something against conservatives at all, actually.
I stand corrected.
It is not whatsoever. Now, I got two rants. I'm just going to probably do one. We'll just see how long the first one goes. But I do want to talk about I've got an issue.
Okay.
Now, either it's conservatives usually, or it's fast food restaurants. This week, it's a fast food restaurant.
Oh, I was going to say, is it a conservative fast food restaurant?
It's not a conservative
fast food. Chick-fil-A?
It's not Chick-fil-A. It's not Chick-fil-A. It's not Vladimir Putin's Chick-fil-A.
Love chicken.
The Tigers.
Stop with the Tigers and the chickens. And the
we will Putin it to death.
Which, by the way, I got a few emails of people that were just rattled by your lack of compassion for the girl that you're dating who's hot but handles snakes. And how they just, he's like, they're like, well, what if she's really good looking? Like, I'm just going to nail it until she dies. And Dan said no. And I'm like, no, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know if you can transport venom through it as an STD, but I don't want that. If this chick, let me tell you something, she's like snake spider in the name of God, there is nothing crazier than that.
Can you just imagine if you had to have an epinephrine pen and an anti-venom kit sitting next to the bed at all times?
I just want to know that if you made her mad, she'd throw rocks at you or like a knife at you while quoting the nativity. You know, hearing in this night.
All right. Lettuce on burgers. I've got a problem with this. And it's not the problem with lettuce, because I like lettuce. I don't have a problem with lettuce. What I got a problem with is Burger King. And you know why I got a problem with Burger King? And this is every single one of you.
Gotta have it your way,
baby. SOB. All right? Every single one of you SOB fast food places that exist that sell burgers. Think about what I'm getting ready to tell you, because you need to be slapped. Lettuce should never be put onto a burger shredded. I'm sorry. You do not put shredded lettuce on a hamburger ever. There's no reason for that. You get yourself a nice regular piece, fully
cut. Nice head of iceberg.
Nice head of iceberg. Take a slice off of that bad boy and put it right there on. Like, I don't need you slicing it. It doesn't need to be ground down like a cheese or anything like that. This isn't Parmesan that we're throwing on top of the ketchup and the mustard.
They put shredded lettuce on burgers
at Burger King. And I'm like, what is your problem?
They do
that
it.
That doesn't even make sense.
They do it at McDonald's, too.
That's stupid. Stop doing
I know,
that.
Shredded lettuce is for tacos. Let's get it right.
Do it right.
Maybe
exactly.
They just like, yeah, tacos. If you're going to give me my horrible food, you prepare my horrible food in the proper horrible fashion.
Exactly. No, I do. I want it to be like a falling down. I want it to be like the picture up there. I want it to look like that, okay? I'm sorry. I want my burger to look good, and I don't like the fact that right now my burger doesn't look good because basically – you've decided to take a shortcut, and that shortcut is used by Mexicans at a Taco Bell place in most cases, okay? Not knocking Mexicans. I'm just
sometimes
saying
it's the
Taco
same
Bell
place.
Tends to serve Mexican food. Let's just go down that road.
Not knocking Mexicans, but those dirty bastards every time.
No, I wouldn't go that far. But my point is lettuce should never be shredded when it's put onto anything other than a taco. You could shred it up maybe for some salad, stuff like that.
Maybe
that's okay.
A wrap. Maybe a wrap you can
imagine
do the shredded lettuce.
Imagine if they served your salad with shredded lettuce. Not broken up lettuce. Shredded lettuce. That's just not right. That's like coleslaw, right?
Coleslaw. I would kick someone's ass. Just that plain and simple.
Why would you?
How dare you shred
asses.
My lettuce?
But that's my point.
You deserve
Bobby,
it if you do
you love
do
your
that.
Food, do you not?
I do.
You do love your food. And my point is that are you a bigger fan of just a normal piece of like iceberg lettuce, or do you want shredded? Shredded taco lettuce.
As long as I can consume it, I don't care.
I don't. Oh, so you're not a, you don't care.
I just don't see Bobby running into lettuce very much. That's
Bobby
just me.
I think
he's more like the meat guy. Like, does he get good? There's no lettuce because it keeps me from getting to the meat faster.
The lettuce just sullies the taste of your burgers.
No, I love me a good chicken Caesar salad, a good buffalo chicken salad. But I mean, I really don't care. I've worked at restaurants before where we both shredded and we kept it whole and just broke it apart. Honestly, the way that it tasted better was just broken apart instead of shredded. But, I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
I think it's a texture thing. It's a quality texture thing for me. Like, when I bite into the burger, I want the one full bite to chow down into the piece.
And you want the crunch, like on the commercial.
I want it, well, yeah, but it's not so much that. I just want it to be, like, all one full piece, all comes off in one clean bite. I don't want things dripping off of my chin and a piece with some barbecue sauce falling onto my lap, you know, because, like, that can happen, but it's not going to happen as much with a full piece of iceberg lettuce as opposed to the 4,000 shredded pieces that are all over the place. So now when I bite into the burger, it makes me feel fat, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I got just a nice one piece and a whole sandwich with some lettuce, some tomatoes, some mustard, whatever, you know what I'm saying, on it, and it's all one thing, I can bite into it clean. I feel – when I got it and I – like that, you know, it's just like a beard of lettuce coming out, and then I got, like, stuff all over my face, and I'm just sitting there going, yeah, that's lunch today.
It's a good thing we don't all go out to eat together.
I would just tell people, like, if I had a bunch of shredded lettuce in my lap, I'd be like, just in case a bunch of domesticated rabbits were to just come in my car. And sit on my lap.
Well, see, here's the other thing, too, though. I like it both ways, but the one thing I don't like is what you're talking about. You know, you like taking that bite and having that big bite of the lettuce and stuff. I hate having a giant piece of lettuce, really, honestly, on the sandwich, because when you take the bite, a lot of times when you're going to pull away from the sandwich to chew your food, that whole giant chunk of lettuce comes with you.
Fair enough. All right, my second rant, I think I'm going to get into... just for a few minutes here. Stop, please, everyone out there, and Dan, I'm sure you deal with this. You probably deal with this in professional wrestling quite often. Bobby, you probably deal with this in work situations quite often. I want everyone to stop with the whole I'm going to ignore it and it won't exist attitudes. Okay, please stop doing this. Like I did the game off on passive aggressiveness a few weeks ago.
Right.
This kind of falls down the same road, but you don't have to be passive aggressive to do this. This is that whole, you don't exist, you're not in my life, so therefore you don't matter to the world. Now, that's fine and okay in some cases when you literally are just trying to separate yourself from a situation and you don't want to involve yourself. Like, it's a burned bridge you're not going to go back over, so right. That's fine. Like, or a bad relationship, like a marriage that went south or something like that. That's fine. That's cool. You can do that. But, like, on just normal day-to-day stuff, when somebody says something you don't like and then you just try to take the next 3 hours and act as if they don't exist, when they ask you a simple question or they want to talk to you or this, that, you just do the whole... I don't know. Oh, who's is someone trying to? You know, they always do this. They always do this. Who's that talking, man? Who's that talking? Is that? So, I don't even know, man. I don't even know who
very,
that is.
Very,
very. Like, we just had a conversation 3 seconds ago.
Man. Very fourth grade-ish.
It is. It's childish, and that's my point. Like, just stop it with that. choose to use that power, which everyone has the right to use that power. I don't have a problem with that. Choose to use that power for legitimate things that you're trying to shut down.
Right.
Not just day-to-day problems you have with people, because that's just overdoing it, in my book. I mean, would you not agree, guys?
Absolutely. I mean, you know...
I've never, honestly, like lately, I've never had an adult literally go, is someone talking? Because I'm not listening. Because I think if they did...
It's that bro down move is what it is.
Is someone talking? Like in my ear? That's
no,
right here.
It's the kind of stuff that you would have incurred on the road rules, you know, because that's like at the time and the age that you guys are in your early 20s and stuff like that. You get the drunk chick. She just wants to be a douche. You know what I'm saying? So she's going to be like, who's that talking? Who's that Dan? I don't even hear him. I don't even hear him. Like that's not the kind of stuff.
Being that drunk chick, if you go back and watch, we were best friends.
Well, I'm not talking
I was
about
making out with
I'm
that
just
drunk
talking about
chick.
Any drunk chick.
And then I was like, wait a minute, she's drunk and she's in. We have to go talk to her right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had kind of the opposite reaction. But I think if anyone really did that to me, I would have to just keep screwing with them. It would just get worse.
Well, I'm pretty sure the last person that's done that to me was my, well, now 10-year-old, 11-year-old niece or cousin. Was the last person that's done that to me. And that was like 3 years ago.
You should
have
made
her cupcake. If somebody is harassing you... No, well, if somebody is legitimately harassing you to a point... Like, I'm not saying like over-the-top harassing, but... Or even with over-the-top harassing. If somebody is harassing you and it's on purpose and you can literally... There's like no smoke and mirrors. You can just see that it's legitimate harassment for the purpose of trying to get your goad on purpose every single time
right.
you interact with this person. Fine. Go ahead and put them in that box. Throw that box off to the side and ignore them and treat them as if they don't exist because they're being childish anyway, so they need to get treated like a child would. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like when I tell my 5-year-old daughter not to do something and she does it anyway and then she wants to come over and she wants to act like she's doing something, getting away with it and stuff like that, I just ignore her before she starts going, Dad, do you see what I'm doing, Dad? You know what I'm saying? Like I just blow that off. I'm going to treat you the same way as an adult. But you don't need to go down that road. I think that it's ridiculous that you go down that road at all on some of these things. I just find it stupid, man. I really find it stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Interact with some strange people.
Well,
like
I guess
other than
that,
me.
I guess that's possible. I mean, I'm a special individual in general.
Because I some of the stuff you run into, like the glorious emails you get about yourself. I've never received anything that hateful in my life. Well, I've been in fights where me and the dude weren't yelling things that harsh at each other while fighting.
While fighting.
Yes. And that was in your email.
Yeah. They don't like me, man. They don't like me at all. So, anyway, that's kind of all I got for rants today, guys. I'm sorry. I just needed to get that off my chest. I needed to get that out there, let everybody know what was going on, because I really think that the lettuce thing, that bothers me. The lettuce thing's an issue because, I'm sorry, it's just one of those, let's just try to act like I'm already spending $7. $7. Like, we're talking about a hamburger patty that cost you 10 cents. We're talking about a piece of lettuce that probably, or if it's shredded, like 3 cents. Like, they're getting all these things in bulk. We're not talking about massive quantities of anything whatsoever. We're talking about really small amounts that when they put the entire Big Mac or whatever it is together, what, maybe 75 cents, and they're going to sit there and charge you $6 for it?
Right.
Like, you're making a ton of profit as it is. How about you at least give me some quality? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Q. When we come back, more with me, Producer Bobby, as well as the walking reality himself, Dan Walsh. We'll see you guys on the other side. Check out theqnow.com for more episodes, old episodes, and a little bit about each one of us. We'll see you after this.
Nothing says I love you, I'm thinking about you, or I miss you like a beautiful bouquet of fresh flowers from ProFlowers.com. Flowers are a festive way to dress up a birthday, holiday, or anniversary. Plus, prices start at $19.99 and include a free vase. Every bouquet is guaranteed to last at least 7 days. To send a thoughtful bouquet, go to ProFlowers.com/radio. And to receive this special offer, enter code COLOR. That's ProFlowers.com/radio, code COLOR.
Gentlemen, welcome back to The Q, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and I'm joined today, as always, by one Mr. Walking Reality, Dan Walsh, and producer Bobby.
What up?
We've got an exciting show that we have planned out. We've been talking a little bit about rants and things that I'm not happy with, especially lettuce that is definitely
shredded.
Supposed to be not shredded whatsoever, but they keep putting it on my burgers shredded. That does not make me happy, and it doesn't make anybody else in the studio happy today. But let's talk about Donald Rumsfeld. Rummy. You senile, you're white, you're conservative, you're entitled. So it sort of makes sense that you did this, but you don't just say these things out loud, you old man. That's my opinion here on this situation.
Okay.
While lambasting the White House's management for the Afghanistan war this past week, Bush-era Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told Fox News' Greta Van Susteren that a trained ape could do a better job running the campaign. Rumsfeld joined the program by phone and was attempting to criticize Obama for not securing a long-term status of forces agreement with Afghan President Hamid Karzai on a contract that would permit U.S. military forces to remain in the country beyond the current agreement and regulate their conduct within the war zone. We have a status of forces agreement probably with 100 to 125 countries in the world. This administration, this White House, and the State Department have failed to get a status of forces agreement in Afghanistan. A trained ape can get a status of forces agreement. It does not take a genius. We have mismanaged this relationship. Rumsfeld then rambled somewhat incoherently for a few more seconds before Van Susteren, perhaps slightly taken aback, ended the interview right there. Rumsfeld, of course, was eventually fired as defense secretary and replaced with the more staid, less blowtorchy Bob Gates after bungling both the Afghanistan and Iraq campaigns and after reportedly screwing up the Bush administration response to Katrina for petty personal reasons. He may think the administration is dumber than trained apes for not renewing a forced agreement with Afghanistan, but the public certainly doesn't. A December 2013 ABC News Washington Post poll found that 96% of respondents thought the U.S. should bring all or most of its troops home from Afghanistan in 2014. So here's my problem with this, and this is why I'm bringing this up, and this is why I think this is important for us to talk about, guys. And especially being a military veteran yourself, Dan, I'd love to hear you chime in on this, because you are a former Secretary of Defense. You've worked right in one of the more interesting periods of a presidency of the last 50 years regarding 9/11, as well as the war with Iraq that happened during your time in power. Of course, you eventually get fired from that position, but regardless of that, you have held some lofty positions within our government.
Correct.
And my point is that when you get to that level, I think that you understand the way the game is played a little bit better than everybody else. So I think that you also understand that everything doesn't always work perfectly at the top of the food chain all the time. I mean, Dan, over there when you were in Iraq on your missions and your tours, how smoothly did everything run? Or was it quite often that things just kind of went, you know, people didn't know what was going on and things were just getting lost in the shuffle?
You can't ever, ever, ever say that this is what this is going to do, this is how this is exactly going to happen. It doesn't work that way. You're dealing with people, you're dealing with a war zone. So for someone, like, the thing that just cracks me up when people are like, oh, we want an exit strategy. Well, you can't do that. You got to get in there and see how it works, because you want to do it right. The last time we went in and we had an exit strategy and we left way too early and it made it hard for us when we went back. I'm referring to the Persian Gulf War. Whenever we left, because everybody said, okay, we're done, we should come home, we listened to them, we come home, we left a bunch of Shiites sitting there, you know, wanting to help us, now looking bad towards Saddam, and then being massacred for that. So I think that when you go into war, you need to be there for the long haul. You don't need to try and set an exit strategy until you know what you're dealing with. As far as Donald Rumsfeld goes, he said something early on in his reign that angered me whenever troops had asked him in a question and answer segment of, you know, are we going to get more armor? Are we going to get this? And he kind of just like passed it off as, well, just do your job and don't worry about that. That made me really angry, because it's, no, dude.
Like, that's your life on the line.
That's
yeah,
not, that's a horrible answer to that question. What frustrates me the most is that, all right, I'm going to come out and say it. I don't like how Obama handles foreign policy. And it's not I don't like how he does it. I think he dances around things. He tries to be everyone's friend. I do agree with Donald Rumsfeld on the fact that they do need to keep that relationship open. They need to establish a plan post that, because if you ask the people when to come home, it's like asking kids what the principal should do. yes, in a perfect world, yeah, bring everybody home, everybody's here, but there's certain things that could happen afterwards or certain things that could happen down the line, and you do need to establish a relationship that way so if something does happen again, which it has in history, you're not completely trying to relaunch yourself. You're actually established. Now, does that mean we need to fight a war for 20-something years? No. But where I agree with his what he said, what makes me angry is, like I said, I'm a person who does not agree with how he handles foreign policy. But
now,
instead
a question for you on that. Like, do you think that the reason that you disagree with how he handles foreign policy is because literally push hasn't come to shove yet for him to really see an opportunity to, like, flex his forcible muscles? Like, we walked into a war that, like, be honest, Dan, if you had a choice to – I understand we've asked this question to you before, but, like – being in a war or not being in a war, which would you have chosen in general? Like, nobody would choose being in a war. Like, that's
honest, yeah, but, like, here's the deal. Would I rather have troops go and fight in a hostile area or leave that hostile area alone for people to regroup and attack us? That's what you got to think of. It's not, yeah, in a perfect world, no one wants to go to a place where you're going to die.
And that's my point. Like, Obama hasn't gotten to a point yet where a push has come to shove to where he needs to forcibly flex his muscle the way that we all think Bush just kind of created a forced reason to flex
a
muscle.
Well, this is what Bush does. Bush, whether you hated him or not, he pretty much said, listen, I don't like this, is what I'm going to do. And then he stuck to it. Now, a lot of people didn't like that, but he never backed up. He never, like, second-guessed himself. He just did it. To
where
what I don't like is with Obama, it's always like, yeah, we're going to do this, but we're going to do it half-ass. And then, okay, no, we're not going to do this. You know, he's so trying to be the anti-Bush where you can't do that in foreign policy. These guys don't work like we do. They work off of your body language, and they work off of how you handle a situation. And in a lot of ways, this is like a prison. The world is. People like Putin, people like all these other world leaders, they see how you act. And when you show a lack of confidence or instability in your decision making, we may think that that's okay because we're looking at the logic. They don't see that. They see this as a guy who's unsure of himself.
Which is fine because, like, think about this. All of us handle ourselves differently in stressed situations, okay? And here's a guy like Obama. Maybe he's not the kind of guy like Bush who's just, like, all about the minute that you flex your muscles, like the Ukraine situation or something like that. I'm going to, like, sit there and I'm going to start screaming on TV and I'm going to, like, make threats and this, that, and the other. Maybe he's a little bit smarter. Maybe he's a little bit more flexed. Maybe he's just a little bit more solid in his decisions. And he's one of those guys that, as opposed to throwing a punch, he's going to wait to see if you throw your punch so he can react to it properly. You see what I'm saying?
I wouldn't agree with that. Because he came in, and first thing he said in his entire campaign was like, I'm pulling troops out. Bush did this wrong. Bush did that wrong. For his first 2 years, he went back in and re-signed everything that Bush set up.
True.
And then tried
that
to take, like ownership for things that happened because of it. Obama did not catch bin Laden. Obama did not. He just carried on the war on terror that Bush set up, and it eventually led to Obama being caught and killed.
Fair
and
enough.
Osama. And Obama just happened to be in the office. And he sure as hell got on that microphone and took full credit for it. And that's where I see Obama differently than most. I think he's a brilliant speaker. I think he can take words
around. Well, I don't think that he took... No. Let's defend. I'm going to defend him.
He did not say
that he was the one who caught Osama bin Laden. It happened on his watch, and so therefore he is going to represent the country at the time, and he said that we got Osama bin Laden. That doesn't mean that he's sitting there going, hey, you know what? Me, Barack Obama, this guy over here, I'm the one who did it.
Yeah, no,
I got him.
But he let, when everyone else was giving him credit, he let him give him credit. He didn't stop and say, listen, there was a program set up by such and such president, whether I agreed with him or not, and that's what led to this. He's not giving it away to Bush saying Bush was the greatest president, but he said, you know what? This one thing he set up led to
But
this.
How do we know
he
that
did
for a fact?
Give, though,
how
Bush
do we
credit.
How do we know that for a fact? How do we know that the things that Bush specifically himself set up literally led to Osama bin Laden? How do you know that in the first year that he was in office, he already had meetings and stuff like this to change certain aspects of those policies and those plans to alleviate some problems that they were having, which led to the capture of Osama bin Laden? I'm not saying fully take credit, but he's making decisions.
There was already people in place all over the place from what Bush did. Nothing had changed on that level since when Obama got in. He did not do any other – he did not lighten any other new – military plan or anything. It was the same exact thing that was already going on. There was already people in place searching for Osama, and what had happened was they finally nailed him down, whatever happened, and they got him. It didn't have anything to do with it. Well, I'm not going to say that because, yeah, that's an ignorant statement that I wasn't there for. I'm a true believer that all they did with Obama is they said, wake up, sign this paper.
Of course.
We found him. And if you don't sign this paper, something's going to happen to you because we're going to do it anyways. But I do think that plan was put in motion by the Bush administration.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't want people to get the wrong idea that Obama's walking around saying that he's the one who got Osama bin Laden. I think everyone else saw it happen under his watch, so therefore they're just going to associate
This is where people get irritated, is where I get irritated with them. I don't particularly have a problem with Obama. There's times, like with the Donald Rumsfeld situation, instead of critiquing him on public television, why don't you contact the people that you know that are inside and say, hey, let's suggest this, let's do this. How about you take your knowledge and you use it for good instead of trying to blast the guy all the time, because we have enough critics and not enough people trying to chime in and help. One person doesn't have all the great plans. We need to be working as a united front instead of trying to just – politics in general has just become a reality TV show of trash talking. But I will say this on the fact that what irritates me the most is I can see an artist. I can see a BS artist who likes to swing things and he doesn't necessarily say stuff, but he can also deflect certain kinds of – and I think Obama is the number one superstar of that. He can find it. He can fashion it to a way he'll sit back and he'll make himself look great. But the minute he gets attacked for something, he swings it around and he will put it on someone else. The one thing that someone brought a great point up on is that when we brought up Christie, when Christie got caught with his bridge scandal, Christie said, you know what, maybe I didn't personally do it, but here you go. It was under my watch. I apologize. To where there's many things that happened under
Obama. But Barack Obama has done that. Barack Obama, when the website went down and healthcare.gov was getting trashed about 5 months ago, like literally he got up there and he went up on that podium and he said to everybody in the country, this was my plan. Unfortunately, it's not working correctly right now. We're doing things that we can to try to fix this problem, but it wasn't ready.
But did he ever say, I'm sorry?
I don't think that situation dictated an I'm sorry. No, that's my point. Like why? Certain situations do dictate an I'm sorry, though.
People called what was going to happen months before
it
happened.
Who cares if somebody calls it? Certain situations certain situations dictate an I'm sorry. Certain situations dictate just communication breakdown that needs to be flushed out. It doesn't necessarily mean an I'm sorry.
Well, no. When someone says, listen, are you sure you should do this? Because this is probably what's going to happen. No. We're going to do
because
it.
Because when you talk about things like
up.
The things that they were complaining about, Dan, were the entire situation. They were talking about in generals. He is not going to sit there and apologize for the entire plan across the board because the website wasn't ready to go, and that is literally 1% of 100%. There's 99% that hasn't been implemented that is probably going to work just fine,
but
he's not going to apologize for the entire thing, and that was the thing. Their argument was this. The website went down, therefore, this whole plan is obviously a problem, and it's on your shoulders.
It was not just the website. It was the fact that there was an $800 swing in people that sat right there in that lower to middle income gap, like right on the top. A lot of their insurance went up. There's a lot of pissed off people because of that. You always hear this, oh, it's so great for the lower income people. Those people that sit right there at the top of the lower income going into middle income are getting screwed. And the same way
that's
the people
true.
Out on
that
the top.
That is true. I will
and
be the first to say.
And these were all things, Mark, and you know me. I don't get too much into political
stuff. No, you don't.
But I heard every single person bring up these exact things, and they acted as if every time they talked to him, no, this is crazy. They're just trying to put this out. It's the Republicans. They're just saying this. And then when it happens, there needed to be a time where he said, listen, I really wanted this to happen. Yes, all these problems came forth. I'm sorry that this is happening. I thought maybe we could get by it, but we didn't. I still want to go forward with this, but I do take responsibility for going ahead with something that people knew was going to be a problem, and it continued to be a problem.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Here we are in 2014. 2016 is when the next election happens, which they can, like, literally switch up leadership and turn it over to the Republicans or whoever at that point, okay? Let's say they elect a Christie or someone like that, a Republican, to become president of the United States. And if that person's first order of business is shutting down Obamacare from top to bottom, just, like, getting rid of it and going back to the way things were, like, where do you stand on that? Like, do you think that that's a good idea? Because now, at that point, you're 2 years in. Under the new plan, things might be working out. Other things might not be working out. You know, do you take an assessment at that point? Or do you just literally go back to the beginnings when all the problems were happening, which is what you just brought up, and go, hey, obviously this was just a problem from day one, so it's all over with.
I think you need to have the brains to look at how it's going, because I do believe this. Your leader implemented something. You need to try and make it work. Even if you didn't agree with it, a part of being a good American, a good citizen, is that if he did it against your wills regardless, let's say you take a look at it. If it is starting to work its kink out and it's starting to work, it's probably better that you do what you have to do to fix it instead of scrap it. But if we're coming up on 2016 and it's one problem after another, after another, after another, then there needs to be something to where either, A, we need a massive reform, or we need to reconsider completely changing this up. Because the thing that made people angry was that not everyone. I know there's just people that are hardcore against it and hardcore against Obama, and I'm not speaking on their behalf. But someone like me, for example, I always thought the concept of giving someone socialized health care or a health care system for everybody was awesome in its idea. But whenever I was trying to look
at it... Well, this isn't socialized health care. This isn't universal health care at all.
Where you're going to get affordable health care for everybody.
Right, sure.
And to me, I looked at it because I wish I could remember this writer, but when I was in a sociology class, there's a guy back in the 40s who basically broke down the class system, broke down how everything works, and he broke down why America couldn't implement certain things like that, because we needed the class system to make our society work. And part of it was you had to have that motivation to move up to the next level. That's why certain people didn't get certain things. That's why because it was that motivation to keep succeeding. The minute you don't have that motivation, you look like a communist state that's completely failing in that, because there is no motivation to drive forward. I think when it comes down to healthcare, there are people that are working their butts off to get it, and you know what? The evidence is there that they're working. So therefore, bam, make it affordable for them, get it to them. But one thing that this healthcare system also caters to is the people that have never tried, never do anything, and see this as another system that they can leech off of. The thing that was never answered to me is there have been people that go into emergency rooms with their kids, they get their kids treated because they have to, because of the Good Samaritan law. The minute they do, they walk out of there and they don't pay anything. And that's the reason
that
stuff started to skyrocket.
And that's existed well, but
exactly.
But that system has existed well before Obamacare, and that has been abused by many people
prior to
that.
But this is my point. This is my whole point. What is Obamacare going to do now that we've done that to solve that? Because now you're not helping anything. You're just now you're still draining more. So don't tell me that you're going to fix the economy when you're not fixing one problem by making it available for more people to leech.
Now, that's another discussion that I'd like to have a little bit here. You brought it up. Fixing the economy, and one of the biggest arguments against Obama has been, he ain't creating jobs. Well, let me put everybody on kind of even keel with this, okay? Barack Obama's job as president of the United States is not to create jobs. That is not his job. His job is to run the country and try to facilitate things so that we can try to create jobs. Now, you have to understand, job creators in the United States of America have traditionally been, and still are to this day, the private sector. Private sector companies like, let's just say, Supplement Superstore. We always like to make fun of them, or you know, like Taco Bell or McDonald's or whatever. Those companies are privately owned. You know what I'm saying? They have a board of investors and this, that, and the other. But those companies dictate their own decisions on whether they're going to hire people or not. They're the ones who will literally create jobs. It's not Barack Obama's fault. Yes, Barack Obama can implement certain things that are going to make those guys change their decisions up. And one of the biggest ones over the last few years has been healthcare. Healthcare, they have always argued, is this is going to kill us, this is going to murder us, it's going to blah, 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 this, that, the other. And since it has been implemented, I've heard more people say what you said. Individuals who are supposed to get this healthcare that's affordable, that don't have jobs, are having a lot of problems because they're on that bridge point between lower middle class and middle class. You know what I'm saying? And you haven't heard any of the companies themselves come out and say, you know what, as soon as this Obamacare thing went into play, here we are 4 months in, it's killing my company, it's just murdering us. Nobody's come out and said that.
Because they've already offered their health insurance if you're getting... What it killed certain people on, and this was from a couple friends of mine, who actually, one of them was a huge Obama supporter, and he actually wanted the whole Obamacare, but what he didn't see coming was he has two kids. So a part of the plan that was suggested to him, where he was paying so much,
my brother's
so
in
much,
the exact same position.
He paid for the kids, but then all of a sudden now he's got $800 more that he's got to pay per year. That it went from somewhere from it went from $800 to $1,300, and there was a raise. He didn't see that coming. He was very angry about that. When the only point that I want to make about the whole job situation, and why you can blame some things on Obama, not Obamacare, because I agree with you. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I told you about that briefly on Facebook, but that corn farmer that I was talking to.
Right. Yes.
And I actually read into this. We use our corn farmers to actually use that corn oil for our fuel.
Right.
So whenever they were buying fuel from South America, which I believe is mainly BP, they were buying it, and in, when they bought it, instead of they also bought the corn from right there so they could one-stop shop, and it screwed a lot of our farmers up here, and some of them almost lost their entire farm because he was trying to one-stop shop and get it cheaper, and he took money out of his heartland's pockets.
But
and
here's
like,
the problem. The reason a guy like Obama has to do things like that is because he has to speak on behalf of the entire country as opposed to specific sections of society. And I understand what you're saying. Like, I'm not trying to defend Obama and say that literally his decision, because I don't know enough about it to make a, like, a yes, this was good or no, that was bad, you know, type like argument. But my point is that he has to speak on behalf of the entire nation. The entire nation uses gas in general. The guy who works at the cupcake factory uses gas. The guy that works at GNC uses gas. The guy who works at Radio Shack. The guy that works over at a radio station. The guy, every guy uses gasoline. And so like his thought process is in generalizations in the entire mass. It's not the specific niche things that are going to potentially help here or there. He's got to think about like, I need to get enough gas cheap enough to keep the entire nation off my back, as opposed to 10% of the nation that might not
well,
be happy about
he's
this.
He's getting the fuel. He didn't have to buy the corn. It wasn't already mixed in. He did it for it to be cheaper. And yeah, I understand that, yeah, that's cheaper for the country, but you and I both agree that if you want to get money circulating, you got to get everybody circulating that money.
True.
Farmers are a huge part of this country, and our agriculture is a huge part of our economy. If you are eliminating that sector and they're almost losing their farms, they're not spending
well,
money.
Well, it's become literally too expensive to have your companies in the United States of America. It's not just these companies that are taking their stuff over to Japan. It's literally your farmers. It's literally your gas station owners. It's literally the guy who owns the donut stand at the end of the corner. Like, it's literally become too expensive to have the American dream, excuse me, in the United States of America now. And the problem with that is that you kill the dream off, you kill the morale off, and before you know it, you literally have no economy and you're just like Europe. You're literally tanking left and right, and it's because we've just become so greedy as a society, we are unwilling to accept. Listen, I've said this on the show in 2012, I've said this on the show in 2013, I'm going to say it on the show now in 2014. If we could just literally all step back $1 across the board on our lives, everybody could afford everything. Yes, you're making profits now of 70%. But if you literally realize the guy who works at Taco Bell can't afford all the things in his life that he needs just to have a normal life. I'm not talking an extravagant life. I'm just talking pay the bills and cut break even each week, not even have any savings. If you would just take your gas prices from $3.50 a gallon to $2.50 a gallon and hold it there for a couple of years. And bread comes down from $2 a loaf to $1 a loaf. Everybody across the board just drops their prices. Hey, we're talking about supplement superstores. I'm sure that some of those supplements cost upwards of $30, $40 a can. If they just dropped it to $25, that literally makes it more affordable for the people on the current wages that they make, and they can literally sustain helping these companies, and you're still making a profit, because if everyone across the board comes down a dollar, that means the gas you put in your trucks to transport the $25 can of whey protein or whatever it is to this place or that place, that became cheaper because it costs less for you to transport it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the Cube. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this whole situation with Neil deGrasse Tyson and creationists demanding airtime on Cosmos for the sake of balance. We are going to discuss that when we get back on the Cube. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Cue. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by producer Bobby and Dan Walsh. And you are listening to us on 1280 AM KYR, 1420 WINI, and worldwide on the interwebs at thecuenow.com. Don't forget that every single week. Support us. Go there. If you got any questions, you want to catch up with us, you want to talk to us about anything like that, go to the contacts page on thecuenow.com, click contact us, and we'll answer you. We also have Twitter and social media and all that. You know, we're working on the iTunes situation right now. So right now, currently, the only way to get the feed at all for the radio show is if you go to thecuenow.com and click episodes. The new episodes show up every single week right there. We also have an RSS feed over at feedburner.com. That's also available on the website so that you can plug that in and get those downloaded through your favorite podcasting app on Absolutely. Whatever system that you are on. Other than that, We are moving forward with the show. Bobby, you said you had something you wanted to talk about, buddy.
Yeah, I have a story that I found that it really disturbs me because, okay, so let me get into this. An incident took place at a local elementary school in the Ferguson-Florissant School District last Thursday. When a mother was called to come and take care of her a special needs child. Well, the mother said that while laying in bed, she received a frantic call from a teacher. She came to the school, and her son, who suffers from Asperger's syndrome, was having a breakdown, basically. Well, after getting the call, the mom goes to the school, and she sees a teacher, and the teacher says, "Hey, Miss Williams, what is wrong?" She said, "Well, someone has called and said there's something wrong with my son, so I came up here to take care of him and get him to calm down." Well, as she goes in the room, she sits down with the son and consoles him. Well, as she does this, the principal of the school comes in and goes, "Just so you know, you violated school policy by not signing in." So the mom says, okay.
Which is a very typical thing in the United States nowadays because of all the problems that they've had with school shootings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They now require you to sign in, and all people on campuses around the United States need to be known and notified, the principal and all that stuff.
So. Right. So the mom says, "Well, I apologize for not signing into the book. I just was trying to take care of my son, and I came straight in. If you bring the book, I will sign in for you. I apologize." The principal looks at her and says, "No, you violated school policy. We've already called the police."
Really?
So, Calverton Police Department, Calverton Park Police Department shows up at the school, and she has been arrested because of unauthorized entry to a school. The school was put on a 12-minute lockdown, and a letter was sent home with parents. The mom was then escorted away from the student, her son, which is now in even more emotional distress.
Of course it is, because you just had your mom arrested in front of all the other kids in class.
That, and you have Asperger's, and these guys are known for flipping their handle whenever something just goes.
Well, yeah, because they have to live in such a... They ride a borderline that's so unique at all times.
And the mom has now been charged with trespassing.
Oh, my goodness. This is ridiculous. Ladies and gentlemen, don't even finish this conversation. I am sick and tired in the St. Louis area and around the United States of America, where we go out of our way to literally just blow down any and every moral and ideal that exists today. Like, I'm sorry. This is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
As a parent myself, I understand that there's rules in the school. And I don't think that the mom was outside of the realm of saying that she was there. Obviously, they admit that the kid needed to be calmed down.
Yeah, because they called her.
They're the ones who called her. She doesn't sign in. I don't think it would have been a problem for them to bring the book over and just have her sign the book because what they want to do is they want to flex their authority. This is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. All of you didn't get picked for kickball in eighth grade. So now you become police officers, you become teachers, you become people who are given a modicum of power. Whatever that power is, you take it, you merge it into something that is ridiculously a mountain out of a molehill.
Absolutely.
And you run with it. And you throw it in everybody's face as if it matters. Well, let me tell you something out there. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second here, Dan, if you don't mind, because I know you like to talk. And Bobby, if you don't mind. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a huge fan base. Guess what? That's legit. Numbers speak. I know thousands upon thousands of people download and listen to this show every single week in every corner of this entire country. We've had calls on this show from Ireland and everywhere else. That's real power. What Barack Obama has, what those senators and all those people have, that's real power. You know what you don't know about? You don't know what it's like to be sitting in a foreign country trying to eat your lunch and a little guy runs up to you speaking some language you've never heard and trying to ask you for your autograph. You don't know what that's like, but I can tell you this. I know what it's like for some guy from Norway to send me hate mail about how he wants to cut my mom's head off and go back in time in a time machine. Listen, I understand you're a school teacher. I understand you're a high school teacher. I understand you're a police officer, and that's great. When you get over to Veta Sports to play in your little soccer league because you didn't get a chance to play it a lot, because in college, remember, you were going to be a superstar, right? You're going to be the new Mike Sorber. You were going to become Alexi Lawless. You were going to end up on the United States hockey team or soccer team. You were going to be playing for the Steamers. You were going to be doing all this great stuff until you started knocking up Nancy Lou Big Butt. Nancy Lou Big Butt is great. She's amazing. She looks sexy. She was hot. She was 22 years old. And she loved it because you would play with all your buddies. Remember? Because all of you got to say, like, what happened was this reality hit you. Working the summers at the swimming pool kind of went by the wayside when you turned 23, 24 years old. You graduated college. You didn't need to try to think that you were a Baywatch lifeguard. You and David Hasselhoff going to run around the beach together. It wasn't going to happen. So you had to get a real job. And you got your real job and you realized all these things and these ideas and these plans and these things that you thought were going to materialize into something that everybody cares about didn't. Other people usurped you. Other people went past you. They became more popular. And so this is my point in my soapbox. I'm going to tell you this. I think that that teacher's a piece of crap. And I'm not one of those people. I have a PC1. I taught high school. I know exactly what it takes to become a teacher. I went through all the classes at Lindenwood University and got my master's in teaching. And I taught my, you know, I did my student teaching. And I'm like, I know what it takes to do exactly what you do for a living. But what you did to that lady was ridiculous. And you don't have any power. Guys like me and Dan Walsh and Bobby here, we've got real power. Because when we flick this microphone on, literally people will go to a voting booth and change their decision that will affect your bank account hundreds of miles away based off what comes out of my mouth. That's real power. If you want to see what real power looks like, watch and listen to The Cue whenever you get a chance. That's real power. I'm sorry. That's disrespectful. She doesn't have, and I understand, I sound like an egotistical, arrogant piece of crap right now. I don't care.
But you don't, though, because...
I don't care.
Here's the thing. As a parent, this teacher or principal, whoever the hell she was, has at some point been a parent. She has to understand the how this child works. So for her to come in and now take the situation from the kid is distraught, the parent has come to take care of the kid so that it's not distraught and we can take care of it, we can now go through the rest of the day. Now she's destroyed just the whole damn situation, and she's made it 10 times worse, where now this kid is going to have a bigger problem, you're going to have a bigger problem on your hands at this school.
Dan had brought up, and Dan, jump on the mic real quick. Dan brought up the fact that Asperger's children tend to, like, ride a very fine line between their life needing to be literally regimented and perfect.
Yeah,
and anything that just literally a hair goes off the wrong direction, one side of it. I have a cousin by the name of Justin. Because of personal things that I'm not going to get into that have to do with family and stuff like that, we don't ever see Justin. I haven't seen Justin in probably a good 10 years. Solid. Okay? But Justin had Asperger's syndrome. And he does to this day. I don't know how he handles it now at this time, but I remember him coming and spending nights at my house, you know, because my mom and dad are his aunt and uncle, you know. And I understand how, like, riding that fine line it was. And there were moments that we had to deal with things that were a little bit outside of the normal realm that people have to deal with on a day-to-day. We understood that. We knew what we were getting ourselves into. We knew walking into it what we could do to try to help the situation. And there were a couple of times that things just went so far off the rails, we had to call my aunt at the time, and we had to have her come get him because it just wasn't working out. And that's not a knock on Justin or my former aunt or any of that. It's just literally what had happened in those moments. I can see this kid having some issues at school because he's got to ride that fine line, Dan. And unfortunately, here's a teacher or an educator or an executive or whatever it is that steps their stinking nose because it's policy into this the middle of this situation. And policy, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We talk about gun control, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We talk about gun control, and we always say, well, if you got a bunch of laws, that ain't going to stop criminals from killing people. It's the same idea. Just because you got a lot of policies over here, it ain't going to stop the kid with Asperger's from literally getting his life turned upside down the minute you decide to throw that hair off.
Right. And the worst part about it is this kid was only – the son is only a first grader.
Yeah, well, oh, my God. We're talking about a first grader.
So he's only, what, like 6, 7 years old?
The minute they called her, that should have, like, null and voided the actual book because you called her to come in. She came in after being invited. So how is this
– also – you don't arrest the mom in front of the class. You ask the mom to come down to the office. You ask the mom to come. Like, now, it might have been a difficult situation.
Right.
If the kid's crying and scared and this, and then the mom's there to console it, and they're trying to get her away from him, and it's just not working out. Like, we don't know how that moment went down, so I don't want to speculate on how that moment went down. They might have needed to do it right in front of the kids. But still, I would think that you don't do it in front of the kids still. Like, well, you just wait a 15 minutes or whatever. It's not like the cops got something better to do. Dunkin' Donuts is done serving their 2-for-1 special at 10 a.m.
And that's that's what I was going to bring up. That's on the cops too. You knew the scenario, and you arrested her. Like, I'm sorry, that's a time when you look at that and be like, listen, lady. First off, this is ridiculous that you're calling for her to be arrested. Two, hey, how about we get her away, or we let her console the child? We let her take care of the immediate problem, which is a young child. And then, if we have to, considering she's not hostile and she's responding to a child that is in need, then we can probably bring her down, book her, arrest her, whatever. You don't do it in front of everybody. You don't treat it like it is a school shooting when it's just somebody not signing in. Especially when you know there's a kid with Asperger's. Asperger's has now come out pretty openly into the world. So we're starting to learn a lot more that it is a stage of autism, that this is a disability that these kids just can't control. You know, they have to learn. A thing that I read about Asperger's, that they don't understand reactions to things. So right, when kids who have Asperger's, the way they treat it is they tell that kid to say and do anything that comes to his mind first. And then when he gets reprimanded for it, he starts to learn what is and isn't.
Right.
That's how they have to do it. So this kid is probably doing what he was told as far as expressing his being uncomfortable. So then she has to come get him. I understand. It's a public – it's a school. It shouldn't – you know, you should be more respectful for the other kids. But, I mean, this kid's probably sitting there going, what the hell? I'm told to do this by my therapist or whatnot. I do it. My mom comes in, gets arrested. Like, this is going to screw his progress off.
And he's in first grade. We're talking about a 7-year-old, Max.
Yeah, he's
okay,
a baby.
We're talking 7 years old. At 7 years old, the world is still all ahead of you, and you don't know how mean it can be. You really don't. You just – anything just seems like it's
even
bad.
If you live in Calvelton Park.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a pretty rough
it's
area.
It's a rough
but,
area.
Well, I'd like to just know the judge that's
I
going
mean,
to –
I mean, anybody who grew up around Calvelton
yeah.
Park or went to high school
went
at
to school
McClure
right across
High
there.
School is probably just a big piece of crap anyway.
Whoa,
let's just
Tiger.
Be honest.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, that's right, Bobby. Yeah, that's what I think. I actually used to hang out in Calvelton Park
Whoa,
with my buddy
Tiger.
Matt
so
like, back
me.
In the day.
Yeah. Well, we all did. We all did it.
But the whole thing is I was like
on our knees with our hands behind our heads.
Only some of the people in this room. I would like to know. I'd like to know who the judge is that's going to get this, because if he is actually going to file formal charges against this lady
on behalf of the school,
on behalf of the school,
he should literally lose his judgeship at that point. I'm
Absolutely.
Not sitting there. I'm not, listen. I'm not against police. I'm not against judges. I'm not against the school district for having policies and stuff like that. I think this specific situation made you all look like a bunch of pieces of crap, and it literally went so far off the realm of normalcy that you should not have the ability to defend yourselves at this point. Like, literally, this is a read-between-the-lines situation done. Like, there is nothing else to this. Good story, Bobby.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you bringing that. The creationist group Answers in Genesis, which already incensed about Neil deGrasse Tyson's revival of the show Cosmos, is now complaining that the show lacks scientific balance because it fails to provide airtime for evolution deniers. Danny Faulkner of Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum appeared on the Janet Mefford show this past week to criticize Cosmos for not providing airtime for creationism adherents. When Mefford asked if Cosmos will ever give a creationist any time, Faulkner responded by lamenting that creationists aren't even on the radar screen for them. They wouldn't even consider us plausible at all. Mefford agreed that the show isn't being very fair and balanced. Boy, but when you have so many scientists who simply do not accept Darwinian evolution, it seems to me that there might be something to throw in there, you know? The old, some scientists say this, others disagree and think that, but it's not even allowed. Consideration of special creation is definitely not open for discussion, it would seem, Faulkner added, arguing that evolution, the foundation of modern biology, and one of the theological beliefs on human creation are simply two sides of the merit competing time on science programs is much like the equally absurd argument creationists use when trying to undermine the teaching of evolution in public schools. And see, I think that this is an issue. And the reason I think this is an issue is because it's twofold issue, guys.
Well, I have a problem with not being able to the creationism in a public school. I remember when I was in school, my biology teacher, when we were learning about evolution and stuff, he was not, you know, because I went to McClure High School.
Oh, you
we
did?
Were, yeah.
You did?
We
That's horrible. Keep going.
Whatever.
Let us all know.
We weren't
allowed. Actually, don't even say anything else. That just, Mark, what you were saying?
My teacher wasn't allowed to even talk to us about creationism because of the whole separation of church and state. Now, I have a problem with that due to the fact that there are some people that go to a public school because they don't want to pay to go to a Christian academy or a CBC high school that are still Christians and are still Catholics.
But you have to work within the realm of where you're at. Like, ladies and gentlemen, we can't – this goes back to kind of two things. This goes back – okay, let's play this game, okay? Everybody said Heath Ledger might have made a good Joker. They weren't sure. But there was a lot of people saying, no, the best is always going to be Jack Nicholson. Why didn't they just get Jack Nicholson to do it again? I think that he could have this. This would be the equivalent of Heath Ledger does the Joker, and they have to create another version of the Batman movie with Jack Nicholson in the exact same role just because he feels that his Joker was decent at one time in history, so that it has to have its equal balance in time. No, you don't. You don't have to have equal balance in time, right? That's the whole separation of classes, right?
Well, what is a school's primary is to give a general education to the masses, okay? So in that case, I 100% agree. You should not include any kind of spiritual or creationist beliefs because your church, which is specialized for that, that is what they handle because that's what the point of that institution is to discuss creationism and religion. Public schools, like, I'm sorry, I'd have been pissed if they had taught creationism. Because not that I was brought up Catholic, but it's a public institution, and you have so many people there with so many vast beliefs that unless you're going to hit on every single person's beliefs,
exactly.
Which you can't because you won't even get it in the curriculum,
exactly.
You're just wasting time of stuff that's going to be of scientific basis. Now, if you were to get back into – if they were to say this is the only way – like I don't ever remember my teacher saying, no, this is the only way. I just remember them saying scientifically this is what we have as far as biology and that. It's even acknowledged that the Big Bang theory is just as up in the air – theory is just as up in the air as any kind of creationist story too. They don't even have enough evidence to back up the Big Bang theory. A lot of people think that they do. It is a shot in the dark, and a lot of scientists do not agree with that.
Well, they're saying that more evidence has come out lately that is proving, though, the Big Bang theory through NASA, Hubble Space Telescope.
A popular viral video last week was a guy from Harvard going to an instructor who had created a piece of the theory of the Big Bang and literally letting him know after 35 years of waiting to find out that he was 100% correct. They have proof that he was 100% correct, popping the champagne bottles and pouring it and stuff like this.
Yeah, but until you blow up something and then it forms into civilizations...
Until we turn it into CERN...
You don't prove it.
Like, well, of course, yeah.
I'm sure that the property's there for explosion, but did stuff turn into gravity after that? Did individual pieces develop their own gravity?
I think that we have done enough research in general to, like... ascertain a certain amount of understanding that, like, we know enough about black holes, we know enough about stars and supernovas and how they react and stuff like that. We've seen these things happen over the hundreds upon hundreds of years of researching them. I think that we've ascertained a certain position in history to where we can look at certain things and go, that's probably very close to what happened to get us to here, because look what happened when that happened.
Well, this is what I've always heard. Evolution, they have evidence. Everything is – but I've heard from top scientific minds that have even admitted that the Big Bang theory, the original Big Bang theory, is just as up in the air as anything that anyone else
has. And it's very possible. That's
because there's no way that you would ever it's a theory. That's why it's still labeled as the theory, because evolution – like they say evolutionary theory, but we can go back and see that a giraffe once had a short neck. And once its primary food that it would eat, the tree started to grow, their necks grew. We can go back and see that. There is nothing that you can go back other than experiments that don't directly cover everything that could, yeah, this could have happened, but there was nothing that said, no, that's it. That's what happened. They can prove parts, but I've heard, I mean, that's just...
To get back to the story, though, I have a problem with these guys. And it's not so much the fact that I don't think that they don't have the right to talk about what they want to talk about. Their problem is that they just don't feel like the big player on the block is giving them a look. It's that idea of that I'm better than he is. Why does he always get it and I don't get a chance to? Like, that's when it comes off whining to me.
Well, then can the evolution theory, can they go onto like the Trinity? Trinity Network.
They
and then broadcast their scientific beliefs.
They could literally Cosmos was a popular show about science.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is considered in our current America to be our number one scientist. It's a natural fit that he would be the one hosting this show, and it's because of his theories and him being the number one scientist, they feel that he's the biggest target on his back. And the problem is that's not that's not technically the case here, ladies and gentlemen. We have a situation where, like, this television company has decided to put this show together and put him at the helm of it, and just because, Dan, just because you don't get signed to WWE tonight, are you going to go home and cry into a pillow, or are you just going to keep working on your dream to try to get there?
I just don't see why that has anything to do
with I'm just asking you, could you go beat on Titan Towers up in New York, right, and on their doors and be like, hey, you gave so-and-so a chance out of St. Louis, you gave so-and-so a chance, I've been around just as long as they have, I feel that my skills are equally as good, blah, 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 you should have given me my shot, you know?
Yeah, I think it's silly because, I mean, scientifically, like, here's my deal. I want to learn about something on the planet as it pertains to, like, at certain situations. You know, from biology, we learn how to cure diseases and so on and so forth. Nothing in the Bible tells you how to cure a disease, okay? So it's great to have that, your belief and your structure, but when it comes to knowledge in certain programs, there's a reason it's not included. There's a reason we only focus on this, and I don't think it should be a shot that he should not be shooting on the creationist about, oh, they're just not even relevant, but that he has a justified point of not expressing that part.
All right, fair enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a quick break here on The Q. Make sure you check out thequnow.com. As well as, you know what, get on Twitter. Follow my man over here, Dan Walsh. Dan Walsh, 83
right
on Twitter.
I tweet new stuff every 5 minutes.
As well as CC Papa on Twitter, SISIPOPPA, and Mark Bland on Twitter. Do all of that and follow us. We like to live tweet during the show. We'll talk to you. We'll answer questions. We'll be back on The Q right after this.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. Call 1-800-975-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-800-975-MYTV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. 1-800-975-MYTV.
Mark Bland, joined today by the walking reality, flying reality man that is Dan Walsh, the heavyweight champion of The Q, every single week here on the show, as well as producer Bobby, one of our favorite people in the world. I want to talk about the top 10 most controversial movies, and I might have a couple added to the list. I want you guys to hear the list and then tell me what you think, you think needs to be added on here and stuff. Now, first off, first question before we go too deep into this. How many controversial movies have you guys seen? Like, when I say controversial, I'm talking about that kind of taboo movie or a movie that is, like really edgy, like, kind of goes over and beyond, like, where it needs to.
The only thing I can think of at the moment is the movie, the horror movie, Last House on the Left, because it's really, really weird, and I felt uncomfortable after watching. There's this, if you haven't seen the movie, I apologize, but there's a scene where these people have kidnapped these two girls, and the one girl gets stabbed, and while she is bleeding and dying, they rape the other girl.
Yes.
And every time I've seen the movie, it's a really good movie, but I feel so uncomfortable after watching it.
And now, I think The Last House on the Left is also the same one, that was the remake from the 70s.
Correct.
And in the original 70s version, they had a very controversial scene where basically, the mother, I think, and it might be in the new one. I haven't seen the newest one, but the mother decides to give, how should we say exactly,
fellatio
to one of the assailants, one of the bad guys in the movie, because she's trying to save her husband. And midway through fellatio, she pulls a Lorena Bobbitt, and she just like does her thing. And rips it off. Like,
I think that's in this one as well.
Like, that's a very controversial scene, and that caught a lot of people by the... Now, what about you, Dan? Have you seen a lot of controversial movies? Movies with controversial scenes?
There's a couple. I mean, there's American History X, whenever he curb stomps that guy.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's a very controversial scene.
Well, that whole movie is pretty controversial.
Right.
But also, you guys remember the remake of The Hills Have Eyes?
Yeah, I did see it. I thought it was kind of boring.
No, when that one freak is raping her in the back whenever they're distracted, that is one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen in my life. Because he's like a mutated freak, but he's raping her. And she's like, then she actually begs, like they, and oh, and then they hold the baby, they hold the gun up to the baby, like they're about to shoot the baby.
Oh, yeah.
And like, this movie was so nuts at one point, I was waiting for them to shoot the baby. And I was like, that would have been the all-time craziest things I've
ever
seen.
Well, I think that on our list of controversial movies, we're going to go a little bit deeper than you guys normally want to go, because some of these I've seen at least seven of these movies that are on this list, personally. Okay?
I wouldn't know how many I've seen.
Maybe we can switch out a couple
and,
of
and
with...
And I just haven't deemed that controversial.
Well, based off what we had just literally said, I think that maybe we can do a little switcheroo. You know, maybe we can pull a couple off and put a couple back on. Now, coming in at number 10 is the movie Fahrenheit 9/11, which is Michael Moore's depiction of what happened with 9/11 conspiracy theories, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And talking about how that all went down.
The one scene where the like little boy is being put in the back of the truck and his skin is like physically falling off of the bone and the meat. Oh. Is a horrible scene. Probably one of the worst scenes I've actually ever seen in a movie.
All right, fair enough. So we'll say number 10, Fahrenheit 9/11. Number 9, Last Tango in Paris, a very interesting movie starring Marlon Brando from the 1970s. This one I think is on the list because, and I've never seen this, but I've heard about it before, this movie's on the list primarily because of the sexual nature of some things that happened within the movie that were just at the time period in the 1970s, they were a little bit over the top, so they were more kind of like triple X rated or something like that.
Okay.
Number 8, Antichrist. A movie I haven't seen, it came out in 2009. This is a foreign film starring Willem Dafoe. And supposedly it's just got some amazing visuals that are just boundary breaking when it comes to like film.
Okay.
So that's the number 8 film. Number 7, 120 Days of Sodom. I have no idea about that one. Number 6, a movie that we've talked about on this show multiple times. I don't think Bobby was here at the time when we talked about this. The movie called A Serbian Film. If you ever want to see what I can sit like, in my opinion, this is at number 6 on the list. This literally should be number 1 on this list. It is a very graphic, dude, it has got some of the most whacked out, crazy scenes that I've ever seen in my life. The things you were talking about with The Hills Have Eyes, they go there and further. And
And it's called A Serbian Film?
It's called A Serbian Film. You're going to have to download it. It is foreign. It's got subtitles. It is menacingly horrible. Like, ladies and gentlemen, I will talk about it in overtime. If you listen to the show and you download it, after we get done with the credits on the show, we start overtime, a little extra audio for all you out there. I will tell you a scene from the movie A Serbian Film so that you can see how demented they really got in this movie. Number 5, Cannibal Holocaust, a really well-known movie that is supposedly, it's a mockumentary. It's supposed to be a fake reality. The idea of them going into the jungles of South America or Africa or wherever it was, finding a tribe that likes to eat human beings. So obviously cannibalism. That's pretty controversial.
They didn't need to do a fake film. They could just go to Papua New Guinea and they still do that.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I mean, I'd eat someone.
Now, number 4 on this list is probably. It's controversial because of what it was talking about, but at the time period. It's Birth of a Nation. Basically, it's a movie about the Ku Klux Klan and the formation of the Ku Klux Klan. It came out in the 1920s.
I never would have thought of that, though.
But,
I've seen that
But
movie.
At that time period, that was a very...
Yeah.
You know, like, because we were fresh out of the Civil War within 50 years.
It's a very dull movie, though, too. You have to, like, really...
It's a silent film.
You have to really, really want to see it or be interested in that time period, because I watched it for a history class, and I was... bored out of my mind.
Number 3 on the list is actually the thing that probably made Mel Gibson more money in his life than he's ever gotten. Passion of the Christ. Obviously,
for
the religious connotation, that's why it's on the controversial film list.
I think that is just an absolutely well-done movie.
It's a very good movie. I mean, it's an amazing movie to watch, and it does a really great job of telling the story in a very good style.
I was going to see it, but then someone ruined the ending because they told me he died.
Well, that does happen. That does happen.
Yeah, I just at that point.
Actually, he didn't die. He rose again.
That's true. Number 2 on the list is The Exorcist.
The original?
Yeah, dude. There's people that are still mad about that movie.
Yeah,
no. Like, a friend of mine took his wife to The Exorcist house because she didn't know that they lived so close to it. And she freaked out because the real Exorcist house, which is in Belnor, Missouri, there's people that live there. And the room where the kid had the exorcism... That's where their, like, newborn son sleeps.
Wait a minute. I thought the kid was at the Lection Brothers Hospital. down in Spy where Slew is.
But no. There's a two part. Okay, it's a two part thing. Okay, first off, the child himself, okay, is from St. Louis, and there's a house that he grew up in Belle Nord. Now, once the stuff started going crazy and whack job and all that, they took him to Alexian Brothers because they don't know what to do with the house.
Right.
Like, they're going to take him somewhere where they can. And Alexian Brothers was run by the nuns. Yeah. So therefore, that they felt like it's very religious based and all that. So they, you know, used to protect. But the kid also was flown around to other parts of the United States and had spent time in little places while they were going through this whole exorcism thing over a good year to 2 year period.
The people, though, that the people that live in the house, that, you know, my friend that had just drove by, the neighbor actually came out, and, you know, he was like, oh, you know, that's the, you know, that's the house where the exorcism happened, blah, blah, blah. And he's telling my friend, and he goes, yeah, I'm actually kind of fearful for the people that live in there. And my friend said, well, why? And apparently, anybody who moves into this house, within 2 years, if they're married, they get divorced, and they are just... They can go in as the most happy people in the whole world. As soon as they leave and they buy another house, they're the most depressed people. They don't like life anymore. He said anybody in the all the time.
I think
ever
that that's
been
more
there.
Belle Nord than anything else. Like
I was going to say, you also got to. I mean, that I, when I drive through there, I'm just kind of like, oh,
I'm not married,
you know?
But I'm filing divorce.
I just, yeah, I'm not ever getting married.
So it's
ever.
Not far away from Umsel.
No,
so
that is Belle Nord.
If you get a chance, you know, you might want to take a trip over
well,
there.
I'll tell you what, when I'm there, I feel really depressed.
Number
wanna,
one
you know.
On this list is A Clockwork Orange, and
yes.
I obviously great movie. Very controversial because of how they depict sexual acts and violence and mix it all together.
Well, they do so much. They do the sexual acts and the murders and that. And then when he's inside of the prison and he works as the chaplain's assistant.
Oh, that's right.
But it's
yeah.
only because he secretly fantasizes about being one of the Romans that's beating and killing Christ.
Right.
Like, it's... And then they do that where they hold his eye open and they make him so...
Desensitized.
Well, he gets to a point where any kind of violence makes him sick. So then they send him back out into the world, and the same people he was committing the murders with are now police officers. And it really is a screwed-up movie, man. He comes yep. back, and everyone just disowns him. And, like, he becomes
wow. –
and what's crazy is in the beginning, you think he's just this evil, horrible person. By the end of it, he's almost the victim. And you're like, whoa, like, I never thought I could shift because of what they do to
so
him.
So far, yeah.
Yeah, and you do. You shift. You start to feel bad for him because it's like, yeah, he was screwed up, but did he deserve – all of this, you know, and
wow.
like, because they, I mean, he gets it back, I mean, in somewhat, but.
Now, I'm going to switch out a couple here. I think that we can probably take A Last Tango in Paris, because I just think that it had to do with, like, a lot of sexual, like, overtones at a time period. When they, and I'm going to take out Birth of a Nation. I'm going to replace those with Human Centipede. If you've seen Human Centipede, that's a very graphic movie. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what we're talking about, there's an episode of South Park where they recreate the movie Human Centipede. Just go watch that episode. Like, just go to Google search Human Centipede South Park. Watch that episode. You'll get a pretty good idea of what we're talking about. But that's a really graphic movie that's extremely controversial. The other one, I think, is Faces of Death.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
very
yeah.
well-known mock reality movie series that came out that is supposed to depict real acts of death happening live.
Some of them,
isn't this
some
like
of them are live.
Some of them
are reenactments. Some of them are live.
Yeah.
The original one was, like, done for
like,
paramedics.
Yeah, it was, like,
people
real.
Like that. Like, you were supposed – that's why they showed the crashes and everything and all the aftermath, because they were supposed to get used to these visions. Once people started watching one and two, and they started playing them at, like, midnight showings, then you started to watch. Because if you go back and watch, like, three on, you can tell it's specifically
my
designed to, like...
My most memorable moment of my being 17 years old was the fact that I was old enough, and they were releasing Faces of Death 4 only for midnight showing on Friday and Saturday nights.
Was that Cross Keys?
No, it was actually at a Halls Ferry 14.
Oh.
And they were only doing for 2 weeks... Two weekends in a row, I went first night, first show. And I've told this story on the show before, but we got there. It was just me by myself, 17 years old, pull up. I'm able to buy a ticket. I'm old enough now. I mean, literally, the week before I turned 17. I get in there, I sit down, and I'm probably three-quarters away from the screen. We start off with an entirely full theater. We're talking old-school movie theaters back in the early 90s. This is before Blu-rays and the way things are now, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking 400 people solid in this theater, deep. And it is packed. There is not a free seat in the entire place. Guys with their girlfriends, husbands with their wives. We start off with 400 full people, and within 15 minutes, that theater literally dropped 30 to 40%. I watched two people upchucking coming up the entire, like, the aisle all the way.
Isn't that
it was
the
just
one where
ridiculous.
That's the one where they go into detail of doing brain surgery on that kid.
No. This one is the one where they designed Faces of Death 4 based off the popularity of the first three. They went more movie style with this one.
Oh, okay.
This was legit stories that were real life things that had happened, you know, like the person getting chopped up in the motorboat blades because mm-hmm. they were skiing, you know what I'm saying?
I saw that one. I've seen all of them. That's what I was wondering. I thought, was that the one where
they
had...
This is the one that starts off with the guy in the crazy asylum with the yellow jumpsuit who, like, stabs the nurse in the neck. You know, okay. We don't need to get into
was
too
much.
Was
it the one where they drew the guy in quarters in Germany?
No. Okay, I think that's three. I know too much about this, which is scary to me. And at 38 years old, with children and stuff.
Aren't these movies banned in the U.S. now?
No.
You can get them at Family Video.
Oh yeah, you can go buy them right now. You can download.
They get like all
you
of
can
them.
Get them. You can get them on Netflix or Amazon Prime. You can like download them for $1.99.
No way.
Oh, but here's the funny thing. Here's the one that messed me up the most, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're in your car. You're sitting there going, "These dudes are talking about people getting killed. We're not doing this." Listen, what's crazy about this one? The one that always stuck in my mind, Dan, if you've seen all the movies, is the magician with the bowling ball with the Rambo knives in it, and he's got to get out from under the bowling ball fast enough, but when he flips his lever, it doesn't disengage for the magic trick the way it's supposed to, and so it impales him with Rambo knives that are stuck into a bowling ball into his face. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, that's just some nuts stuff right there.
Have you ever heard the song "Hey Man, Nice Shot" by Filter? Or is it by Filter?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the Faces of Death starts off with this guy, and he's in a room. It's a press conference. And basically, this guy had just been...
Bud R. Dwyer.
Yeah, he had a whole bunch of accusations and stuff about, you know, of corruption. So he's handing out things through this
he's
envelope.
He's handing out, basically, money, like a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, but you don't know until he grabs his second envelope, and he pulls out this gun. And he tells everybody, like, back off, and they're recording it, and then he just blows his
and
head off.
He basically
off.
Says and he's sorry to everybody, and he kills himself.
And they show it, and it just, the camera stays on him. And that's, my brother showed me that. It was the first one I was allowed to see, because he goes, if you can handle this, then you can watch the rest of it. And when I watch it, and the camera just stays on him, because they pull the camera down to tell everybody, all right, everybody just get out, everybody just please calmly go back, but it's on him, and this dude's head, there's so much blood.
Let's not get it.
It is the craziest thing you'll see. And then when I heard that that's what that song is about, I was like, dude, that just made... It's the same time that I heard the song Angel by Sarah McLachlan was about heroin. Like, that made that song so much better.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And it's the famous video of Bud R. Dwyer. If you want to look it up on Google, ladies and gentlemen, you can go look it up. It's a real-life thing that happened. It's crazy to watch. All right, it's time for Game On, Game Off. Let's move on here. It's time for Game On, Game Off. We got a short episode of Game On, Game Off this week, but I think that we can do this well. Who would like to start this week?
I'll start it real quick.
You're going to start it up. Bobby, do it.
All right, Game On.
Oh, by the way, for everybody out there who doesn't know what Game On, Game Off is, basically Game On, we tell you about something that's new, cool, something that you need to be hip to, something that needs to be brought to your attention because it's getting ready to become mainstream big time. It's going to be something cool that you need to know about. Game Off is basically a trend or some topic or something like that out there that – everybody just needs to stop doing, like, twerking or whatever it is. Something that has just worn its welcome out. That's what Game On, Game Off is. Bobby, go.
All right, so my Game On is an app for the iPhone. I believe it's in the Android marketplace or the Google Play marketplace as well. It's called the Acinator. Basically what this is...
Acinator.
It's in the Apple iTunes store. It costs $1.99. Basically what it is it asks you a version of, like, 20 questions, and then based upon your answers, it gives you a celebrity. So you think of a celebrity, okay? And then, so say your celebrity is the great Brett Favre.
We'll do this in overtime. Do you have it?
I have it on my phone.
We're going to do it in overtime.
So you would think of a celebrity. You think of a celebrity. Don't tell anybody. You answer questions, and then when it finishes, it will either give you the answer,
right? Of course,
or tell you whether or not you got it wrong. Okay. So that's Game On.
So you choose the celebrity, though.
Yeah, you think of the celebrity in your head.
And then they try to guess.
For example, the great Brett Favre.
It's like the 20 questions game, the little egg that you can buy.
Yes, it's like 20 questions, but I've gotten it all the way up to like 40 questions before it gave me the correct answer.
Brett can give it away.
We'll choose one. We'll try it in overtime. Listen to overtime on the download after the show.
Correct.
Game Off.
My Game Off is a song by a group of called the Chainsmokers.
The Chainsmokers.
I like them already.
And the song is called Selfie.
Okay, and you're done with it.
I am so done with this song.
Do it for the Instagram, man. You gonna do it for the gram? You gonna do it for the Instagram?
It's like the whole song is like, well, I was walking through the club and I needed to do this and blah blah blah. But first, let me take a selfie.
Okay, I'm done with it already. Yeah, that is a game off.
I hope they do it better than Bobby.
That is a horrible, horrible song, evidently, based off just what you said.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down there.
That's all they do.
So, game off, the Chainsmoker song, Selfie. All right. Big man.
Danimal.
The great Danimal, Dan Walsh.
The great Brett Favre. That just makes me. You speak of him like the great prophet Favre, and he said unto thee, I will throw a Hail Mary.
What do you got for us this week? Game on.
Women who wear fire engine red lipstick.
Oh, my goodness. Last week it was the high heels. The week before that, it's the tube skirts. What's
you like, guys see where I'm going with this.
You're just stuck with this thing, man.
It is so
girls
sexy.
Named Brianna. Brianna H. from Lake St. Louis,
dude,
Missouri.
Don't kill me on this, all right? I have weeks of this stuff. Okay. Go on, okay? You find me someone who doesn't like a chick in some sexy red lipstick.
No,
or
I agree, 100%.
Or a
I
dude
agree.
Who doesn't like a chick. Game on. Red lipstick, bless you ladies if you wear it. You make my day better.
All right, what's your game off?
My game off is 150-pound St. Charles County white kids who get trucks that are jacked up about 3 feet and then drive around listening to Eminem.
Do they have truck nuts on the trucks?
They don't really have to.
Giant blue ones.
You don't have to have truck nuts for me to know you don't have any.
Oh, and, okay, fair enough.
I mean, we get it. You were born in the
country.
Do they mean mug you at the turn?
I'm going to tell you what,
I mean mug him right back. Because me and my little Mazda can get out and whoop your ass in your big white car. And I think they know that.
He has just been on the A-World all show.
Well, I'm just saying some people need to know
if
that.
If that's how
but,
you
I
feel.
I mean, I get it. You grew up park country, and like people are coming out here now with cars, and they put concrete out here, so you don't know if you're
but
really
you
supposed to be
But you did because
sitting.
You're 18, and your daddy bought your stuff.
Right.
Yeah, like there's this identity crisis, and half these kids like wouldn't know what to do if they ever were in a neighborhood that was bad. Other than just like every once in a while a meth head running around, which they probably have a lot of exposure to. But
they sound like the same kids that would go into a supplement store and say, can we get some test boosters?
Can we get some test boosters? I'm 18.
Right, fair enough. Game off, stupid kids who drive around in their big trucks.
Game on, red lipstick.
Yes, we know. All right, game on.
One more
for
time,
me.
Red lipstick.
Game on for me is a show that's on AMC called Game of Arms. It is a show, it's a reality show about arm wrestlers. Sets of arm wrestlers that they got from Kansas City, Missouri, from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, from the Bronx and New York. And these teams go against each other. And they have a guy by the name of Travis Bajan, who is like one of the most well-known arm wrestlers. He's like in his mid-20s to late 20s. He is extremely animated. Reminds me of like a perfect WWE character. He makes this show. And they have some great individuals on this show that and it really teaches you a lot about like what goes into the game of arm wrestling. And this is not like Sylvester Stallone over the top arm wrestling. Like this is legit. Like,
does it at least have the song?
It does not have the song.
The love ballad that goes to the hard ass arm wrestling song.
No, it doesn't. All right. So game on Game of Arms. Check it out on AMC. Go look it up on Google Game of Arms. It's a great show. Game off. All right, check this out. My game off is basically based off the fact that I took my kids to a playground at a local mall here in the St. Louis area, and all of a sudden pulls up a bus during spring break. They drop off 16 kids and this one lady to watch these 16 kids. The kids go crazy, tearing off like 10 and 11-year-olds. They're running all over the playground with other 3- and 4-year-olds, and she sits down on her cell phone until my brother starts videotaping her doing it. Once she sees that my brother is videotaping her with his phone, she immediately starts picking up like the thing and talking to the kids and acting like she is over the top of these things. So my game off this week is horrible child care places. Do a little research, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure that they are taking care of your children. Make sure they're not dragging the five-year-olds around and throwing them against walls. Make sure they're not just taking your kids to a mall and dropping them off with one person for no reason, watching them. It's just ridiculous.
I think the hint is, if your child care lady is 400 pounds, she's probably not going to be up on top
of what too.
A bunch of active kids are doing. I mean, I'm just saying, 11 of them? There's a lot of different directions. This lady probably doesn't even like to walk from her couch to her toilet.
True. True. That's all I'm
going to say.
She
probably got a little bad, but she just... unless you film her, then she all gets right. up and goes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us on this week of The Q. I want to first off thank Dan Walsh for being on the show once again. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me be
here. All right. Thank you to producer Bobby for joining me every single week. Also, don't forget to check out theqnow.com. That's our internet web portal over there that you can find via the Lycos, the web crawlers. Put in your AOL disk if you want to. Get your
the
free
Earth
minutes.
The Earthlink and the Juno.
Yeah, the Earthlink and the Juno. Make sure you got your we put that up on Geo Pages.
You guys used to be big nerds.
We put that up on Geo Pages when we got done playing Wolfenstein.
And, yes, I played Wolfenstein.
And so anyway, make sure you check out theqnow.com. Also, don't forget to check out razorsharpdigital.com. That's a great website for all your social marketing needs. Thank you to 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI, and worldwide to all of you out there that listen to the show every single week. Thank you so much. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell somebody. Keep bringing new people to listen to The Q. We appreciate it every single week. That's going to do it for us. It's going to be time for overtime. We'll be back with overtime if you're listening to Digital Download. If not, we'll see you guys next time on The Q.
Left on God. Trying to block my shot just ain't gonna happen, so don't try. Every time I get on this microphone, I like to spit. And get hit up after hit. This chemistry is so legit. I can't be quipped like a prophylactic. Now they riding deep type. Styling only suckers out here trying to body bitch. Now they rich. Try convince everybody to trick off with a
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the overtime. Giving you guys a little of that extra delicious audio for your ears so that you can listen every single week and be entertained in some form or fashion. That's what we like to do here.
Yes.
A couple things before we get really into the main parts of overtime that we'd like to do. Dr. Dan is here, so Dr. Dan is going to be discussing some things today.
I have my doctor's hat on.
You do have your doctor's hat on. How big of a hat is that doctor's hat, actually?
It's about the size of Pharrell Williams from the Oscars.
Pharrell Williams from the Oscars.
Oh, yeah, that hat was huge as shit.
Yeah, that was a big hat. I don't know why he had such a big hat on.
Because he's happy.
He is happy. He's very
happy.
All right. So a couple of things. One of the things I want to talk about before we start is basically I said during the main show that there is a specific how demented the movie Serbian Film gets. Okay.
Right.
For anybody out there, this is going to be a bit of a spoiler. So if you're going to go try to find Serbian Film, first off, I would recommend having a strong stomach. And understanding that you are going to see some extremely graphic stuff. So don't take it lightly. It's not one of those movies to be taken lightly.
And it is called A Serbian Film.
It's called A Serbian Film. It is literally from Serbia.
Okay, I was going to say, do you know the origin?
Like, it's a foreign film. It has subtitles and stuff like that. The story actually is really interesting, but at the same point, like, it just gets super demented, okay? This is how demented it gets. And for anyone out there, I'm not condoning this. I don't think this is good. I'm just explaining how demented this movie gets. There's a scene in the movie where a woman gives birth to a baby. And before they cut the baby's umbilical cord, the guy literally turns it over and anally rapes the baby while it's still connected umbilical cord to the female. Like, it gets that deep. That's how messed up and out of control this movie gets.
What?
It is sickening how bad it gets. Like, and
how is there a point to that other than to just make you
it
throw up?
It is